So glad you're here as we start a brand new year here at Vertical. And I'm sure you are excited about the new year and all that God has for you as well. So I'm excited because we begin a brand new series today. And we do a lot here under the category of series on Sunday mornings. We're preaching through the scriptures, but we put them together in packages where we look at a character, or we'll look at a book in the Bible, or we'll look at a topic, and we will see what God has to say about it. And so as we begin this new year, I'm guessing that you're like me. You're thinking, okay, fresh start, new day. I'm ready to seek you, Lord. I'm ready to give my heart fully to you. I want to see you work in my life in 2025. Nobody probably wants a repeat of 2024 in their life. Hello? Let's get something new going here. Let's see what God has for us. So we begin a brand new series today. We are calling Allegiance because Jesus calls us to life in him. And he calls us to follow him. And what he's looking for from us is a heart that will say, Jesus, I recognize you as Savior, as friend, but I recognize you as my supreme commander. And what you say, I say yes, sir, to. Amen? I put you first above all that is in me and around me. Your heart is who I have my allegiance to. So we're going with this military theme today because it captures the real essence of what it means to have allegiance to the Lord. When a young man or woman goes into the military, they go in with a sense of passion and purpose. They go in to fight for their country. They go in to resist tyranny. They go in to seek freedom for themselves and for their land and for their families. They go in to make a difference, and they go in full-hearted, I'm ready. But what every young soldier needs when they go in to the military is to be trained. They have to go through a process because full heart and passion is awesome. But full heart and passion without full discipline is reckless. Amen? And you can get yourself killed if you're a soldier who has a lot of passion but not a lot of discipline. So every soldier has to go through a process. They have to go through the regiment of learning routine. They have to go through the breaking of their own will. They have to go through training for endurance to stay at the task. They have to go through the process of having strength to accomplish whatever task is laid before them. This all comes down to your allegiance. Will you have what it takes when the moment is tough to keep saying, yes, sir? And when Jesus called men and women to follow him, he called them to come to life. He called them to come to purpose. He called them to come to joy in him. He called them to come and he would make them more than conquerors. He called them to come and they would go and they would be ones who would set captives free. They would become soldiers in the Lord's army. But every soldier who comes even into the Lord's army must go through the process of being disciplined and trained. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's army. Because this is the process that he uses. And for every new mission, there has to be new training. Every time you step into a new venture, there has to be a new process of preparing and shaping you for that new journey. So as you and I enter 2025, you can be certain that God has promises there for you. He has great blessings there for you. He has great purpose there for you. He has things beyond what your mind can even fathom there waiting for you. But to get it, you're gonna have to learn to be in full allegiance to the Lord in the journey. Amen? And that requires process. That requires diligence. That requires being trained. The only way you'll experience the fullness of what God has for you is by going through the process of learning to be a warrior. Let me just be clear about something. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are saved and in the Lord's army. No one, no thing can snatch you out of that. Amen? But let me assure you of this. All that awaits you there is yours. But the only way you'll get to it is by going through the process of being trained for it. Amen? So So today, our message is called The Making of a Warrior. We begin a brand new series, a brand new year with this look at the life of Joshua in the Old Testament. We're going to see how God took him, a man who was not really one who had signed up for the journey, but had found that God had called him in the process and would use him in a powerful way to make him into a warrior, a man who would lead others, a man who would be used by God, a man who would be shaped and trained to help an entire generation come to know the goodness of God and the power of God for them. You see, Joshua shows up at a very critical time in history. Joshua has been the assistant to Moses, and God has worked in his life, and God has prepared him. But now, as we're going to see, we saw last week in the scripture, there comes a day when Moses dies. When all that had been going on and all that had been led by Moses comes to an end, and Joshua is now appointed as the new leader. Now, before I go any further today, I want to give you something I think will help you in the process here through this series. Let me give you on screen a Bible reading plan. And if I can get the back screen up, that would be awesome. If you want to get your phone out and take a snapshot of this screen right here, this will help you this week as you prepare to hear from God. Yeah, use your phone, take a picture of all of that. It'd be awesome. Because we're going to follow Joshua as he goes through this process of being trained. And this journey here of Bible reading will prepare you as we move forward. I've got some questions there that you can ask along the way. Every day, if you want to sit down, for example, tomorrow, Joshua 1, read the chapter and ask yourself those three questions. If you're a journaling person, great, write it all down. If you type it out in your notes, great, help yourself. Whatever it is to help you in this journey, let's be like Joshua, who learned to have allegiance, full allegiance to the Lord. So Joshua follows Moses. Moses had begun the journey. Moses was the one who had led the people out of Egypt. Moses was the one who led them across the Red Sea. But Moses was also the one who led the people when they sent spies into the promised land, the place that they were going, the place that God had promised to them. And they sent in 12 spies, and the 12 spies came back. And they said, two things. Two of the 12 said, this is awesome. It is everything God said. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. But 10 of the 12 said, oh no, we can't do that. There are giants there. I mean, they'll eat us like grasshoppers. There is no way this is going to work out well for us. And the people believed the 10. They believed the negative report. When they looked over into their future, they believed the lie that said, no, there's no way God could do that in your life. And as a result, the Bible says that that entire generation would not go into the promised land. Can you believe that? It was promised, it was in front of them, but because they would not obey the Lord and have full allegiance to him, God said, I love you, I forgive you, but here's what's gonna happen. You're gonna spend the rest of your life wandering, and you will not enter in, though it is yours. Whew, that terrifies me sometimes, that there are promises that God has out in front of me, and that they're mine, but because I won't believe and obey him fully, I'll never see those in my lifetime. The Bible says that that generation wandered. When you read about the wanderings of God's people, that's why. And they did not enter in. Moses himself listened to them. Moses got angry with them. And Moses disobeyed the Lord. And as a result, God said, Moses, I love you. I forgive you. But you will not enter into the promised land either. Though it was yours to be in, you will not. And Moses died. And God raises up a new leader, Joshua. And so Joshua and a brand new generation of people are moving forward to enter into this land of promise. So I can relate. Maybe you can as well. Maybe there's been some years you thought, man, I have royally messed up this last year. I've been disobedient. I've done my own thing. I've not been sensitive to the Lord. Here's to the day of new beginnings in Jesus Christ. Here's to the day right now where we say, okay, that is behind me. I'm moving forward now. And God, I'm going to trust you. Joshua gets the call. And in chapters 1 through 4, I'm going to give you a very quick summary here. God calls Joshua to lead. God calls him to be strong and courageous. They send spies into the land again to Jericho this time, the walled city that's inside it, where the enemies of God are. And they get word back and they say, let's do this. They cross the Jordan River and God miraculously opens that river in much the same ways it did for Moses. I love the fact that God trained Moses with several pieces. There's an element of where Moses went through a process with circumcision, stay with me, Passover. He met God at a burning bush and God said, take off your sandals, this is holy ground. And they crossed the Red Sea, right? God is about to do class number 2 for Joshua. And very similar things happen. Crosses the Jordan River. We're going to see today there'll be circumcision, there'll be Passover, and there's going to be an experience, here's your hint, in which Joshua is going to be told, take off your sandals, you stand on holy ground. Aren't you glad for second chances? Yeah. Moses had it. Moses, faithful. The Bible says he was a prophet. The Bible says he was a humble man. But he would not obey fully. So Joshua becomes the guy. And this is where we pick up in chapter 5. We begin in verse 8 today. I'm beginning in the middle of this section about circumcision. I recognize that's an awkward topic. And I'm not going to explain all the details of that, parents. That's for you to do when you get home with your kids, if necessary. If necessary. But it's a process. It was part of a covenant that God made with Abraham and he made with Moses. It was an indicator, an outward indicator of an inward covenant that God was making. It was a way of saying to God from the people, we are removing the flesh as an indicator that our full heart is set on you. We are cutting away the flesh so that our heart will be fully fixed on you. Verse 8, it says this. And so it was when they had finished circumcising all the people, the males, that they stayed in their places in the camp till they were healed. Isn't it great how scripture is so just real? If every male is going to be circumcised, it's going to take some time to recover on this deal, right? Right? I mean, if we're going to go into war, we're going to need a couple of days of rest here at least, all right? And they do. And scripture says, this new generation that had grown up now, this was not the generation that had come out of Egypt. Remember, they all died because they were disobedient. And now here's this new generation, their children that are grown up, and now they have to make the covenant with God. They have to say, God, we trust you. And they did it through this outward symbol of circumcision. It was a next generation's now covenant with God, a cutting away of the flesh. And the scripture says next, it says, then the Lord said to Joshua, this day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Therefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day. This place where they were was a place where they, where Moses had the people circumcised. And it was there that they named the place Gilgal. It's an interesting word. It means to roll the burden away. And so here they celebrated and said, the Lord has taken away our past sins, our reproach from Egypt. All that we had done in the past is now removed from us. And they symbolize that by the removing of flesh. Now, that was an Old Testament, an Old Covenant symbol. In the New Covenant now, as followers of Jesus Christ, we don't have that same symbol. Praise God, that's not a function of church ministry anymore. Hello? That's not a part of the covenant. We do not do that as a sign of a covenant between us and God. But the New Testament tells us there is another picture that has been given to us, a picture that shows the removal of the flesh, our old patterns, our old ways, and it is the symbol of baptism. Colossians 2:11 says, in him you also were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, but by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, you have been circumcised in Christ. The New Testament picture is that of baptism. And here at Vertical, we do that in a trough. We did that last week, you might remember. Here is God's way of saying, we are having our past washed away. We're entering a new covenant in Jesus Christ. Baptism waters are not miraculous in and of themselves, but the picture shows us the death of Jesus for us, the resurrection of Jesus for us, the death to our old flesh, and the resurrection to new life in Jesus Christ. Amen? This is where warrior training begins. You want to be a warrior today? It begins by removing of your flesh, your old patterns, and now you have full allegiance to following Jesus Christ. You can't be a warrior for the Lord if you have not come to Jesus Christ and be saved. You haven't come to the place where you've bowed your knee and say, Jesus, this is no longer about me. This is now all about you. I ask you to forgive my sin, wash my past, cleanse me, for I am a sinner and my past is filthy and my heart needs to be changed. If you've not come to that place yet, you'll not experience all the promises that God has for you, because warrior training begins by coming to Jesus. Amen? This is where it begins. And so it began for Joshua and the people. It began by a removal of the flesh. But the passage goes on in verse 10, and it says, now the children of Israel camped in Gilgal, and they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight at the plains of Jericho. Interesting. They have now healed from the circumcision, and now the Bible says that they partake in another symbol, another practice. They gather for a Passover meal. A Passover is what happened as Moses went into Egypt and the curses fell upon Egypt. And the people cried out to the Lord, and God provided a way for them to know that they would be saved from the death angel that would go throughout the land. God told his people, he said, I want you to put the blood of a lamb on your door top and on the sides. And when the angel of death passes over, he will see the blood and you will be saved. And so the Passover meal was kept by Jews in remembrance of that event. They were confessing the blood shed for them, and they were taking this moment of Passover to remember. If you want to be a warrior, then you have to come to the place where you recognize and confess Jesus. Now, we don't partake of Passover as our remembrance. There's nothing wrong with partaking in a Passover meal, but Jesus has given us something new as the church in our day. He has given us communion. And it is a way that we remember his blood shed for us. It is a way that we remember the sacrifice, and we eat the bread. We've done that here at Vertical recently as well. And they remind us of the shed blood of Christ for us. This is important. If you're gonna be a warrior for Christ, if you wanna walk forward into all that God has for you, then you have to come to this place where you regularly recognize this is not about me. This is about Jesus. I'm here because he paid for my sin. I am not paying for my sin, he paid for my sin. I'm not working off my sin, he worked and paid for my sin. Amen? This is the confession that we make as followers of Jesus in our day. This is step one for warrior training. 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. This is warrior training. Back to our passage, verse 11. And they ate of the produce of the land on the day after the Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain, on the very same day. You see, they were now entering the land that God had promised. All of the stories about the land flowing with milk and honey, all of the stories about men carrying grapes like branches on their shoulders, they were all true. And they entered in, and now they were eating of the fruit of the land. Verse 12 tells us, then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land. You see, they've been eating manna. If you're familiar with the Bible, God had provided this heavenly food that would fall, manna. And they'd been eating that and eating that and eating that. But when they entered into the promised land, all of a sudden the manna ceased and they ate the fruit of the land. It says the manna ceased the day after they entered, had eaten the produce of the land, and the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. Whew. They obeyed and they entered in and began to partake of all of the promises. Everything that God had said was true. It's just a great reminder, side note here. In every season, God will provide just what you need if you'll trust him. He'll give you manna in one season. And if you'll be faithful and obey, there'll come a day when you'll be eating the fruit of the land in the next season. Amen? Verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. Now, this is where we're going to camp for just a moment. I want you to get all of this. Joshua, the new commander, new leader, in the process of being trained, he's crossed the Jordan River just like Moses crossed the Red Sea. They've gone through the circumcision. They've taken the Passover. Now they're about to step into what God had always promised Moses. And here's Joshua now getting to do it. The thing is, as he enters in that land is not just a land flowing with milk and honey, but there are enemies in the land. There's squatters in there. People who have taken up residence in their own land. And they lived in a city called Jericho. Jericho represented a major problem for Joshua and the people because they couldn't go in until they could get them out. If you want to get into all that God has for you, you got to be willing to do some battle with the things that don't belong in that future. You got to be willing to tear down some walls. You got to be willing to get rid of some habits. You got to be willing to get rid of some sin. You got to be willing to break some partnerships that you've been in. You got to be willing to cut off some things that have been harming you, because you can't get into all the produce of the land where you still got a problem in the land. And it says that Joshua was by Jericho. There's no reference here to anyone else being with him. It's just Joshua. We're talking about a man who's leading a nation of millions, not a group of 20. And he stands there on the eve of walking into the promised land, and he sees Jericho. He sees this massive walled city. He sees it and thinks, this is a problem. That's gonna have to go. And I don't know how. I don't know how in the world that's gonna happen, but it's gotta go. Have you ever looked into your future and thought, before I can ever see God's goodness, there are some things that need to go. And it says that while Joshua was by Jericho, he looked and there was a man standing there. A man stood opposite him, and he has a sword drawn that's in his hand. A warrior is standing there. It's Joshua, Jericho, warrior, sword drawn. Wow, that would be a little unnerving. That would be a little concerning. Hint, this person, this man, the scripture tells us this is no ordinary man. This is not just an angel. This is God himself in flesh. This is, I believe, Jesus before he ever comes to earth as a soldier standing before Joshua. And Joshua does not recognize him. Joshua says, who is that guy? Who in the world is this guy that's standing between me and a problem I've got? Why is he there? He's making a more of a problem here. Joshua doesn't recognize that this is Jesus. It's not random. It's not coincidental. It's by God's plan that he puts Jesus in front of Joshua when he sees Jericho. You have things that are awaiting you in the promised land, and you're looking at them, and you're worried about them, and you're pacing about them, and you're scratching your head about them, and God has put someone in front of you, something in front of you, and you think it's a bigger problem when in reality, it's Jesus who has shown up to teach you something. But Joshua's going to have to learn this. Joshua doesn't get it. The scripture says that Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? Are you with us or are you not? Are you on my side or are you on their side? I need to know who you are. I see you got your sword. I see you're big. I see you got all of that. But I need to know, are you for me or are you against me? It's so crazy to me that Jesus stands in front of Joshua, a man who knew God, a man who'd heard the stories about God, a man who had heard Moses talk about seeing God face to face, a man who would have said, I know the Lord. And all of a sudden, here's Jesus right in front of him. And Joshua looks and says, who are you? Are you for me? Are you against me? This just tells us that Joshua needs some more training. Because Jesus has shown up in a way he had never seen before. And it's funny, when we're not trained, we'll get so focused on us that we'll miss Jesus standing right in front of us. We'll get so focused on us and our problems and our battles and what we gotta win that Jesus will show up and we will wonder, you for me or against me? When I'm so focused on me, I'll see everybody else as an enemy. Let me say that one more time. When I get so focused on me, I'll think everybody else is an enemy. I'll see them as somebody I gotta protect myself from. I'll see them as someone I need to maybe attack. I'll see them as someone I need to get advantage over. When you get so focused on yourself, you'll think everything's about winning. And you'll miss Jesus standing right in front of you. This just tells us Joshua's got to do some more training. Because when you hadn't been trained, you'll think it's all about you. Oh, Joshua. Joshua, the man says here, he said, no, but I've come as commander of the army of the Lord. This warrior with sword in hand, when he hears Joshua say, are you for us or are you against us? He says, no, that's not the issue here. This is not your battle. This is my battle. This is not about you. This is about me. And I've come as a commander of the armies of the Lord. Joshua, this is not about me getting on your side. This is about you getting on my side. Sometimes that's what we want to use God for. We want to use God to fight our battles instead of letting him be the one that we submit to and we join up on whatever he asks us to fight. Amen? Joshua, this is the commander of the army of the Lord. This is the commander of the army of Israel. This is the commander of the army of angels. And Joshua, this is the commander of you. First rule of training. Know your commanding officer. If he walks up to you, you shouldn't be asking if he's for you or against you. You should recognize, that's my commanding officer. Because when you know who he is, then you'll know what to do. But if you're all about yourself, you won't recognize your commanding officer. This battle is not about you, Joshua. This battle is about you getting on the Lord's side. It's sad when we start thinking that God has brought people into our life to be our enemy, or that God himself has showed up to be our enemy. When that happens, you think everything is a fight. You've probably heard it before. If you think everybody is a problem, then you'll think everybody is someone that needs to be fixed. If you think you're a hammer, you'll think everybody else is a nail and you need to whack them on the head. But if you'll get your perspective right and put yourself before the Lord and see him as the commander of the Lord's armies, it'll put you in the right posture to enter into a new year. If you don't have the right focus, you'll stay defensive. You'll think you got to protect your turf. You'll push back on people that are trying to help you. You'll want to fight instead of submit. And the Bible tells us here in verse 14 that when Joshua heard this, it says that Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" This is how we know this is not just an angel. Angels don't show up and say, "I am the Lord." Angels don't show up and declare it's a holy place. Angels do not allow anyone to worship them. But this is Jesus. And he's okay with Joshua reverencing him, bowing to him, falling on his face before him, and worshiping. And the real training program begins now. Verse 15 says this, "Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, 'Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy.' And Joshua did so." This is the next part of warrior training. If you really want to be a warrior for the Lord, if you really want to enter into this next season of your life and see him work and see his blessings, then you must be fully surrendered to his cause. I mean, fully surrendered. And you might think, well, what's the whole deal with the sandals? Moses had to take off his sandals. Here's Joshua having to take off his sandals. It's important because if you're going to be a warrior, you got to know your place. You got to know who you are. You got to have some training to test your allegiance, because in the battle, in this next season, you're going to have your buttons pushed. You're going to face some struggles. You're going to face some accusations. You're going to face some threat. You're going to face some pain. You're going to face some fears. You're going to face some opposition. And if you don't know what your allegiance or who your allegiance is to, you'll crater. You'll give up. You'll think it's all about you instead of standing in salute to the Lord saying, "Yes, sir." I love the fact that he said, "Take off your sandals." I think there are three things that we understand from this that he was supposed to be fully surrendered to. The first was the holiness of Jesus. Joshua, this space right now that you're standing on, this is holy ground. Not because you're standing on it, Joshua, but because I'm standing on it. Wherever Jesus stands, it becomes holy ground. And in that moment, everything needs to be considered holy. If you're there in the presence, you are in holy presence of Jesus. And he says, I want you to take off your sandals. Those sandals represent and they're filled with the dirt of the day. They're filled with all kind of stuff that you've been walking in. They represent the common. They represent the profane. They represent, they represent sin. And Joshua, you need to take all of that off of your feet right now because this is holy ground. You want to be a warrior for the Lord? You can't bring your common and your profane and your sin into it. You got to be willing to set all of that aside and recognize that where you stand is on holy ground. If you've come to Jesus Christ, let me assure you, you have been placed on holy ground. You have been declared holy. 2 Corinthians 7:1, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. There needs to be times where we set all of that aside and get into the presence of Jesus and worship him for who he is, our holy and righteous God. I've gone through a journey in my faith and even pastoring. There was a period of time where I was really big on the mercy and love and grace of God for your sins. And that is true. But I actually went too far with it because I would not call people to account for their sin. And people began to actually say in the group we were in, hey, we can just do whatever we want because grace covers it. No, we are to be in the process of perfecting holiness. We're to be in the process of learning how to live holy. And that means removing some things from my life that are distractions, that are unnecessary, that are filthy, that are unhelpful, that are not helping me perfect holiness in the sight of the Lord. Amen? What a great time of the year to do that, to make some decisions, some choices, and say, you know what? I got comfortable with some things that have not been helpful to me. I got comfortable with some things that were a distraction to me. But now I'm going to set all of those aside so that I can perfect holiness in the sight of the Lord. If you're going to be a warrior for Christ, you've got to be trained that you are on holy ground. 2 Timothy 2:4, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life so that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Our commanding officer is holy, and that is what he expects out of those who follow him, holiness. But that's not all that taking sandals off represents. It represents recognizing holiness, almost kind of like, anybody have a grandmother's house that you go to, and when you go in the door, she says, take your shoes off. Hello? It may be your house, actually. You know, I don't know. It's kind of like that, but to a much larger scale. Not only holiness, but you have to be fully surrendered to the authority of Jesus. Taking your shoes off, or your sandals off, was what Joshua was doing as a soldier. And you gotta keep in mind, sandals for Joshua was not like you and I wear flip-flops or slip-ons. No, for Joshua, he's a warrior and he wears his sandals to protect his feet. They're part of the battle gear that he wears. They keep him strong. They give him footing. They give him the ability to run. They give him the ability to not worry about rough terrain. And so to take off your sandals was a way of saying, I submit my power and strength to you, commanding officer. Because when you take your sandals off, you can't run. You can't move very well. You can't maneuver your way out of the situation because you don't have a covering for your feet. It was a very humbling, vulnerable spot to say, I remove my sandals because I'm on holy ground and because you are my authority. I will not run from you. I will not react to you. I will submit to you. Removing your sandals spoke submission. it spoke. I'm willing to do whatever you say. I am undone. As beautiful as all of that is, I believe there's one more element here that taking off your sandals means. It's being fully surrendered to holiness. It's being fully surrendered to his authority. But I believe it is also being fully surrendered to his desire for intimacy with you. Now you might think, what in the world does that have to do with warrior training? I thought warrior training was about being tough and hard and enduring battles and knowing your weapons. It is. But if you're going to follow Jesus Christ, you not only have to recognize he's holy, you have to not only recognize his authority, but you have to understand his desire to be intimate with you and for you to know him intimately. This is where warrior training begins. You see, taking off your sandals on holy ground, if you think about it for just a moment, you might think, isn't that counterintuitive? If the ground is holy, shouldn't I need a barrier between it and me? Because I'm not holy. Shouldn't I need something that stands between me and this holy space and me? And Jesus says to him, no, you take off your sandals because I want you, I want your skin, your feet to touch holy ground. I want you to understand that I am holy, this ground is holy, and I'm calling you into a holy, intimate walk with me. I'm not telling you to run from me. I'm not telling you to be terrified of me. I'm calling you to be one with me. This is warrior training. You want to be a warrior for Jesus Christ? Then it means allowing him to touch the parts of your life that you might feel are ugly, crooked, like my second toe, if you saw it. And allowing him to see every part of who you are. Not to condemn you, but so that you might actually know his holiness in you. This is the warrior training for Joshua. This is the warrior training for a whole new generation as they step into a new land. And this is warrior training for you and I. Come to Jesus. Remove your dependence on your own flesh and self. Recognize it is only by him that you have forgiveness and healing. And now, be fully surrendered to his holiness in your life, to his authority in your life, and even to his desire for intimacy. If you want to enter this next chapter with faith, if you want to enter the land of promises that he has for you, if you want to win the battle that's in front of you, if you want to deepen your faith, if you want your family and future generations to know that the presence and power of God is real, if you want to be more than a conqueror, if you don't want to miss out on what God has for you, then let him train you. Let him call you. And just like the last parts of this verse say, and Joshua did so. Wouldn't it be awesome if your family in years to come look back and said, you know, it was 2025 that God spoke to grandpa, mom, my sister, my cousin. They had a rough past, but they heard him call and they heard him say, follow me. And they did so. That's what your family is waiting for. That's what future generations are looking for, is for you to do so. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, it is out of great humility, great awareness of your holiness, great awareness of your authority, and great awareness of your desire to know us and for us to know you intimately, that we begin this new year. So we will remove the things that are a distraction. We will remove the things that are unholy. We commit our allegiance to you and you only, not to anyone else, not to the crowd, not to our thoughts, not to even our own feelings, but to you. And we allow you into every part of who we are, nothing held back, no room left locked, but every part opened that we might touch you, that you might touch us, change us. For then we can be like Joshua and enter in. Then we can be like Joshua and stand against Jericho. Then we can be like Joshua and give you our full allegiance. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Lord's good. Amen. What a great way to start a new year. I hope it's been encouraging to you. Come back next week. We'll follow Joshua and we'll see some areas that God's going to specifically address in our lives and call us to allegiance. There'll be some moments that'll be a little awkward, but there'll be some moments that'll be greatly freeing. Amen. Hey, why don't you stand with me as we're dismissed today? I'm so glad you're here. God is good to us. God has purpose for us and plan for us, and we're going to give him our allegiance this year. Amen. All right, here at Vertical, I'm going to say lift him up, and you say live him out. This is what we do here. Ready? Lift him up and... Amen. We'll see y'all next week.